Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli, the Queen of Maine, and you know what? I got my own podcast. Yeah, does everyone have one? Pretty much, but mine's different because I'm going to help you like I help myself. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli every week is going to teach you how to have the fabulous life that I have. If you don't listen, you're just stupid and don't want to help yourself, so don't even listen. I don't even want you to. But if you do, if you disobey my orders and listen, you can go to feralaudio.com or download it from iTunes. But again, don't listen. I don't even care.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults.
Creepy little Esther, stupid little Esther, she's in California, she's become a weird adult.
Is this your first podcast?
No, I've done like two or three.
Thank you for doing my podcast.
Oh, it's yours? You're taking it back?
No, you can have it.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you took the time, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm good. So, Fahim Anwar is the guest today. Hey!
Hello! I'm a little more formal in my haze, you know? You go, hey, I go, hello.
What's up?
Not much. I'm doing La Jolla this weekend, so I'm going to go there after this.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, thank you for doing my podcast.
Well, the show's at night, so I have a lot of time. I'm just trying to beat traffic, you know?
Right. So you're a comedian.
That's true. You are too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if your listeners know that about you. That'd be great if you dropped the ball and you're never like, oh yeah, I should have mentioned that. I don't know.
Guys, it's true. I am a comedian.
She is.
I'm more into animal online video games.
Everybody
games.
Is.
Really?
I mean, that's why it's so hard as a sketch group to break, because we're competing against a cat jumping into a box. We're like, we can't. It sucks. Like, no matter how well written of a sketch that you may have, you're not going to beat, like, a hamster eating a rice ball.
That is so true. I've never thought of that, because you put out a lot of videos online, and they're all really funny, but you're competing with hedgehogs getting bats, and you just can't. You can't compete with that.
Or a goat sounding like Oprah, you know? Like, you're not going to win. I don't know. The internet is a hard medium for straight sketch. Because, like, I forgot who said this. I think my buddy Asif, he was in the sketch group. He was like, the internet's like vaudeville right now, you know?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, that means that maybe we can...
You just want to see somebody, like a fat bitch, falling off a table.
It's a freak show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why people like me do so well on the internet.
I don't know, but podcast is one of the few things that kind of have some sort of integrity and content.
Well...
That people listen to for... It depends what kind of podcast, but for someone to want to listen to you for an hour, you know, I mean, that's something... For the, you know, the
But
internet.
It's different because you're just listening and you could do, because I listen to podcasts all the time now, and it's such a small commitment. You just put it on. It's in the background while you're cleaning. I guess that's a bad example since I've never cleaned. But like driving, well, that's also bad. No.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're working out or you're driving and you just throw it on. Whereas when you're looking at funny stuff on the internet, you're like, I'll give you 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a full commitment. You have to really be great. Or really famous.
I'm just going to dress up in a cat suit in all future sketches.
What? That's hilarious. Is that why you incorporate so much dancing?
No, that's actually just, I don't even know I'm doing it.
I get it, bro.
I don't, honestly, I don't.
You are the only person who I really, like, I feel like we have that bond where it's true. I love to dance.
Yeah.
And I don't even know I'm doing it.
Like, I'll write a sketch and I'll be like, oh, you shoehorned dancing into that one again. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, I guess I did. But that wasn't my intent.
I did that once with a video where I wrote a video like where I get to hang out with Michael Costa.
And I was I saw that. That's the great thing about sketch. You just get to blame it on sketch, right?
Yeah, it's like it's written in the part. I need you to come hang out with me.
Who wrote it? Well, that's not really important. It's not an extension of my
like five psyche. Sketches in, Michael Costa is just like, what is this? Why are you eating frosting and looking at me?
Yeah, I like that you have the dance background too. You don't meet too many people who are super into dance as well.
It's true. You don't.
Especially in the comedy world, because they're two different things.
Yeah, and I'm a little insecure about even sharing that I have a dance background because it's so, you know, it doesn't make sense.
That's like saying you're a communist these days.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
I have friends that have got blackballed. From the comedy community once it came out that they were dancing.
It's really shameful.
It's very footloose. People don't know this.
Yeah, I don't want people, because it, I don't know. I feel like it's, I see so many comic, like female open micers who are like, I used to be a model, and then they do stand up.
Nobody wants to hear that.
No,
like,
I know.
Why would you, like, you're already attractive behind a mic, you know? So let them assume you've had an easy life. don't be like, it's nice to be a Ford model. What strife did you ever have in your life then, you know?
That, like, you can make humor comedy out comes of from for pain. Us to relate to. Yeah, I feel like I see people that used to be models, and I don't want to be like, I don't want people to know I used to be a dancer. I don't even know if I could say that.
Do you think people will not laugh at you like, oof, dancer, easy life she must have had. She has it all. Pirouettes. What's she doing at this open mic? Model, I can understand. I think the audience would give you a little leeway if they knew you were a dancer.
Well, yeah, especially because, yeah, no, I don't really look like a dancer.
That's like saying I used to be a pipe welder and thinking that the audience is going to be turned off. Like, oh, no.
Your easy life of pipe welding. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's not like, I don't know. It just, when I see.
Because it's not beauty based, you know?
It is, though, in my mind. In my mind, once I say I'm a dancer, everyone sees me as a prima ballerina and I'm just screwed.
I guess.
They're like, oh, she's so. I didn't notice how beautiful she is. Look at her small wrists and her extension.
Yeah.
I don't want to draw.
You're classically trained, though.
I am classically trained, okay?
We're a real life step up movie, you know? I'm from the streets. And you're from.
I'm just gonna say, Juilliard. I feel like we've addressed this in the parking lot of the comedy store.
We've had mini dance offs in the in the parking lot.
Yeah,
it's prancing more. There's no music. We just kind of do a move or two. I like mimicking. I like somebody to dance, and then I'll just try to do their moves.
I like that game. I've often been a good leader in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm good at creating movements.
The worst, though, is like when I'm doing with a girl, and then she gets super feminine, and I still got to play the game, and then I just look really gay.
Yeah, I don't ever get really feminine.
Okay.
I don't really have that side. It's not. I wasn't born that way, you know.
Yeah.
I was born more of a puppy. Puppy style
of dancing.
Yeah. How did you even get involved in dancing?
I
mean, we should probably talk more about comedy.
Well, what's funny is, like, this past month, it's been very dancing heavy for me, even though, like, I've been doing stand-up 10 years, you know? But just this past month, there was the Willie Hunter show where I do that character, Lance Katsopoulos. He's the guy from the 80s. I had the mullet. It's the guy from the video.
I love that video.
In Das Racist Girl, that video. So that character, I did it for the Willie Hunter show. And then that video came out kind of right around the same time. And yeah, getting a lot of love for the dancing. Even though it's, like, I'm not trained or anything. I'm still kind of surprised when people say, like, that I'm a good dancer. Because I have no frame of reference, really, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
And I don't do it a lot.
I've seen you do it on stage.
Some, like, what? What do I do on stage?
I've seen you do a bit.
When I do serenade the.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it, but.
I've seen you do a bit where there's music and there's dancing.
Okay. Yeah, that's fairly recent, too. I never used to do it. Okay. It's probably, I mean, within the last year I started doing that. And I don't do it all the time because I think every comic will hate me if I do that as a closer. And I have so much other stuff I want to do to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't want to be known as the guy who's like, you know, like some guys have an ending bit.
Yeah.
Where they'll do their rap song or whatever, and all the audience loves it.
Right.
And the comics come back are like, here we go.
4 years in.
Here we go again.
Yeah. I sometimes late, cause you and I both are at the comic store pretty late at night.
Yes.
We've often been back to back. Usually I go after you.
Right.
But I've had times where I'm on stage or I'm just like, I'm fed up and I'm like over it because it's so late and there's four people in the audience and I just want to go home. Well, I don't want to go home. I want to do stand up. But so I just get up on stage and just dance.
Yeah, I've seen you.
For like 6 minutes of a 15 minute set. I've had some backlash about it.
Who? By who?
Just some word on the street is like, she's wasting her time. We want those spots, like, whatever. Over
like,
it.
Like, we
want
to eat shit at that hour. Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the circumstances are just so dire that it's hard to do well anybody, but somebody else thinks, like, I'm going to crack that safe.
Right. I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's really... The dancing is actually the best option. There,
and they're like, oof, it is pretty hard up here.
It's awful. No, I think that the dancing late at night is important.
I haven't really incorporated the dancing for no reason late at night. That's your thing. I don't want to steal it.
Oh, yeah. You actually have a dancing bit. Mine is just...
Yeah. But yours is free form and, you know...
It's beautiful. Yeah. I'll take the words from your mouth.
Take it. So, oh, yeah. The dancing came from Michael Jackson. Basically, I was a kid. I liked him a lot. Still do. But that's how I start... Like, I would record... You know, music videos and all that, and they would have Michael Jackson marathons in VH1, and then I would just rewind the tape, play it, slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
So it all started with mimicking MJ's moves.
I did a similar thing with Britney Spears' Slave for You at the VMAs. I bought the DVD version of it, and I just learned it.
Yeah. That makes me feel older when you're like, yeah, I recorded Rihanna's music video and learned her moves.
As a child.
Yeah.
How old are you?
28.
Oh, okay. I'm 24, so you're really not.
Please. That's a world of difference in Hollywood.
I hate it when people are ageist against me. The other day, someone was like we were talking about eating too much. Obviously, that's... Okay, why is everyone laughing? What's the big deal?
Well, that's just an odd comment. Like, you know, we were talking about eating too much. Like, that's your how's the weather. That's Esther's small talk.
Oh my gosh.
So you're a stranger. You probably gorge.
Oh my god. Oh my god, I'm dying. Anyway, and the woman was like, oh, well, you're young. You can just, it doesn't matter for you. And I'm like, no, don't be ageist against me. Just because I'm a little younger than you doesn't mean that I don't struggle too with eating too much.
How old is this person?
She was like 50.
Okay. All right, but you wanted your eating thing to be taken as seriously as hers.
Yeah.
Just because she's 50.
Yeah. This is at a child's birthday party.
This is at a child. Were you just like stuffing your face with cake?
Can't breathe. No, they were Krispy Kreme donuts with Halloween sprinkles. Now what? Now how do you feel?
Now
don't you feel like a jerk?
Yeah. I regret everything.
So you, something that's interesting about you is you used to be an engineer or something crazy, and your parents hated you because you quit that.
I don't know about hate. Yeah, not hate. Like how I had to think about it. I'm like, do they hate me? No, they don't hate me. No, they don't hate me. I don't know. They just felt like, even when I got the engineering degree, they felt like I was settling, you know, like I could have been so much more.
And what nationality are you?
Afghan.
Does that play a role, you think?
Yeah. I think like any immigrant, you know, any immigrant family, they come from another country and they just want their children to do better than them. Mm. So my dad was an engineer. My mom was a nurse. She does hair now. She likes it better. But like every Middle Eastern parents wants their son to be, or just kids in general, like lawyer, doctor, engineer.
Yeah. It's same for
dentist.
Jews, kind of.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like Jews like spread throughout. this sounds like a hate speech.
Let's
the
words,
and you're like, Jews spread throughout. They find nooks and crannies. We need to smoke them out. No, like they're like ingrained in the fabric of many different fields. You know, they're in fashion. No, like culturally, you know, they're in fashion. They're
Who,
in so many different
Jews
fields.
Jews are in fashion.
Come on, I don't know. Come on, I'm just don't make me back up my. My claims. How we were friends. No, you know what I mean. They're in entertainment. They're in so many different fields. Whereas Middle Eastern people come over here and they want the sure thing. You know, they're
right.
like doctor.
Okay.
And like, it's great for the individual, but not great for the culture and society as a whole because they're not influencing hearts and minds through like art and media. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's very short term. Like, it's good for the families and all, but not for the people as a whole in America.
What?
You don't understand, like...
Oh, being a doctor is good for America?
Yeah, it's good for that family and that person.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, like, that doesn't affect, like, other... the good of the culture or... You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Whereas if you have, like, an Afghan novelist who's, like, really great and, like, everybody reads his stuff, like, white people and, mm-hmm. and like, black people and just everybody... any cross-section of America, that does more for the culture, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Than just an Afghan doctor.
Right. Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like, we have enough Afghan doctors.
Or just
doctors
his impact is more than just a doctor.
Yeah. It's reaching
right.
out. So you feel like you're an Afghan comedian.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's not why I'm doing it.
I know.
Like, I'm just a selfless. Like, look, it's not even about... me wanting my jokes to work. I'm just doing it. But I know that that's an element of it. But it's hard for parents and stuff to see that value of it.
Yeah.
They just know the sure thing, you know? There's no set path with comedy either. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They know if you go to school for X number of years, you get a degree, which equates to a certain, you know, dollar amount a year. It's very cut and dry.
Right.
But with comedy, how do you tell them? Like, yeah, I just, you know, just do enough shows. Maybe someone will see me. Maybe I'll audition. Maybe I'll get a Wendy's commercial. And then everything's just so in the ether here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no set path.
You
know, you
true.
Just do it and opportunities come. But you can't tell your parents, like, I do this. And then this happens. And then this happens. It's not a...
I think it makes sense, though, the way that parents are like that. One, because of everything you just said. But two... there are so many people that like try this and
yeah.
it just they're wrong. They're making a mistake.
Yeah. But then I know my only argument to my parents is sometimes when they're worried I tell them just trust I'm not crazy.
Oh, that's
you know?
Good. Oh, I've
just
said that
trust
before.
I'm not a crazy person.
Yeah, I
if
like
I've
that.
Gone through the trouble to get an engineering degree and work at Boeing for 3.5 years, like have a job and I still have this degree, you know.
I'm still smart.
I still have just trust I'm not going to want to be doing open mics when I'm 50.
Because there are people that do.
Yeah. Ugh. So I don't want... Just know I don't want that for myself.
Yeah. And how do they react to that?
I don't think they... I mean, they're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. It'll hit them, but then they forget.
Right. Yeah, my parents are like that similar. Like, they just constantly think I'm crazy and that I don't know what I'm doing and that I'm lying uh-huh. and just everything bad. So it's like you, I guess you're right. They don't hate me, but...
No, we love each other. That's the thing. It's like...
Yeah,
me and
obviously.
Parents, we love each other. But me doing comedy and all this stuff is kind of like a form of autism they've learned to accept.
I like that. But see, you at least got a degree. I didn't get my degree, and that was a huge bomb dropping.
Uh-huh.
But I would feel like if I had gotten the degree, everything would have been okay.
I don't know, though, because I got mine, and then my mom's like, your father... thinks that you tricked him. You know?
What?
Like, yeah, that was my big trick to go to engineering school. Like, that was field day.
Explain.
That I tricked him?
No, yeah, like how she...
She thinks that, or my dad thinks that I got I had him pay for my... Because they paid for my school.
Right.
And that was part of the agreement. That's why I did engineering, because they wouldn't pay for... like drama, like it kept on getting more and more watered down, you know, because I knew I wanted to do this very early on.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So
you knew that and you still did engineering?
Yeah. I've been doing stand-up for 10 years. I was 18 when I started.
Wow.
So I was like, yo, what about, you know, theater. My dad was like, I'm not paying for that. And then it was film school. Wasn't paying for that. He just kept on vetoing everything until we got to engineering. That was my...
What was right before engineering?
I think English. You want to know what that cutoff is? Like, what's the line?
Yeah. What can't you get away with? Yeah, for me, it was... because it was such a battle to get me to go to school that it was like, okay, anything, as long as you go to school. And so then I ended up as a dance major. How jealous are you?
I didn't even throw that out there.
I know.
Wow.
But it didn't last. The days were numbered.
In hindsight, you know, I'm glad they didn't let me do, you know, my initial plan of... Because just because you have a drama or whatever theater degree means jack shit.
It's actually, I actually believe that your engineering degree is more valuable. Well, I think actually 100% of the world thinks that. But, but it is. It's true. I have a really strong stance against college education that's like for drama or theater. It's like if you really want to do this,
you can do it on your own time. Yeah, honestly,
you need to go.
It doesn't give you a leg up once you're out here in Hollywood.
I think it's kind of a scam, a big scam. A huge scam, actually.
Because, look, I have an engineering degree, and I'm up against people in theater school. So, you know, what does that say?
Yeah. All my friends that I went to college with that did theater and stayed and were, like, so involved in it. And I was always kind of jealous, like, oh, I want to be doing plays and stuff. And it's probably that jealousy that sent me into a fit of rage that made me quit school. But I quit school and moved out here, and then they just are getting out here now, and they're like, what did we do? We wasted time. Yeah.
And then they're gonna be taking some sort of like Leslie Kahn anyway, so then it's like, hey. Well, we do Rosenfeld.
Yeah, well, I might be doing,
oh, you're going, let's hope John doesn't listen to this.
Oh god, I'm doing both.
She's two-timing her, stop her it. Acting teacher.
I can't acting class. I probably won't be able to ever do any acting class, but
I don't know, I'm wishy-washy on it right now.
You're in class?
Kind of. And I keep on missing ones, too. And I'm very angry about their policy.
I find that I'll miss a class, and then I'll be so nervous to go back, I'll miss another class, just because I feel so guilty and shameful about missing one.
Uh-huh. They make you feel guilty when you're not, like, super prepared either.
Oh, yeah. And I'm never prepared for acting class.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. I'm really responsible. It's what anyone wants to call me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Like, I mean, you got the podcast, you got the stand-up, you've got a lot of other things. Some of the people in the class, just, they stare at a wall between classes, you know what I mean? They just stare at a wall for a week, and then they show up to class. It's like they got nothing. So it's just different people doing different things in class. So it's kind of hard to, because they want you to meet outside of class for rehearsal. Well, hey, we're gonna do 5 rehearsal sessions. Like, I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
I can't meet up with you.
It's not that I don't have that kind of time. It's really just that I don't have
the
that
patience.
Kind of person. I'm not that. I
like creating my own stuff more. You know? Like,
same.
The sketch group, and I can write sketches and work on sketches with my group for ages. And it's not like pulling teeth, but sometimes acting class is like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know why you really do acting class then, but that could be a different conversation.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of like coming around on that. Like, I did it just to do it, and now I don't know. We'll see.
But it was funny when you and I were in acting class together.
I loved it because, you know, Esther and I are stand-up comedians, and we have a very high bullshit meter. And it's funny to have somebody else to confide in and just point out observations where sometimes straight actors, they're in class, and it's just... It's almost like cult-like. They're just drinking in all the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. They're just there to, like, really suck up to the teacher for no reason and pretend they're really serious. And this is, like, a craft to them, even though they're all just, like, want to be famous because they're losers.
I want to go. I still have to go back to this class. You may be out. But there's just a difference between an actor and a stand-up comic who's in an acting class.
Yeah,
because
we don't
you're very
care
you're
and
perceptive,
don't want to be there.
And yeah, you don't take everything in. It's almost like I'll take bits and pieces from the class, but I don't buy into everything.
Yeah, although some of the like positive life coaching stuff I get into just because I'm like a lost soul.
You're into the Tony Robbins element of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like that I like because it makes me feel like I belong.
Yeah, and I hate the exercises. Like, all right, we're just going to get you guys loose. Let's walk around, start barking like a dog. And I'm like, I'm paying you money to do this.
Yeah, I went in high school. I did a lot of the exercises of acting, and I'm just
like the you need unique New York your enunciation of
it. I just I don't know. I feel like that's a part of my life that I've said goodbye to, and now I'm just gonna like be myself and hope for the best.
Yeah, I don't know. And when you're in the driver's seat, I think better things happen when you're in control of your thing rather than just being a vessel for some other role. You're just plugging in, you're just plugged into parts. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's great if it pops off, but you're just, it's so much more empowering when you're in the driver's seat of your own career and projects. And
yeah. Also, especially too, like, if no one just wants to hire you because you're weird, then you kind of have to force it.
I just feel like I would like to put so much more of my efforts into driving my own stuff rather than trying to maybe get a part in somebody else's thing.
Right, of course. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to... I can't pretend that I didn't intend to move to L.A. and get parts and stuff and be, like, really pretty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not working out, so now I'm writing my own stuff.
I think you need to have both. Like, that's why I still want to do a little bit of class, maybe not as intensive as the ongoing. I like how this has just turned into a debate.
I know.
A discussion about how to approach acting class. Yeah. It's good to have both. You know, do your own projects and then maybe, I don't know, bone up on the acting a little bit. But creating my own stuff is far more important.
And it's really good.
Hey, thank you.
Because there's dancing in it.
It's true. And I feel like I got to do it for everything.
You feel like you have to
do dancing for everything in all my sketches now.
Do you really feel that way, or is it just your heart speaking?
But it'll slip through again.
What if you told your parents you wanted to be a dancer?
I was thinking about the other day. I was washing dishes and I was like, I should just tell my dad. Like, could be worse. I could have told you I want to be a dancer. I think it'd be great if, you know, I've been doing comedy this long, and then I tell him I changed my mind. And I go, I want to do dancing now.
What did
he would probably go crazy.
What would they do?
Then they would. No, then I would be crazy. You know that argument I've been saying, like, just trust I'm not crazy?
Yeah, that goes out
the
window.
If I said I'm doing dancing now, they wouldn't believe me then.
Do they feel like they did something wrong because you're a comedian?
I think my mom would tell me that my dad sometimes would get angry at my mom and say, like, you coddled him too much, or like, you gave him too much approval, and this is why he's doing. Maybe if she was like, if she hit me with a bamboo stick more, I would be doing medicine.
I feel like too much approval is, I don't know, because I have my own theory. Okay, this, I wonder if you'll identify with this. I went out to dinner with my friend and his parents. Did I talk about this in the last episode? I can't remember. And everything he was saying, every like funny thing he said, his parents laughed at. And they like, he made jokes and his parents both laughed, like they think he's funny. And did I talk about this? And as soon as I left the dinner, I called my parents and was like, I need to talk to you both. And first of all, it was my mom, and my dad was in the kitchen watching TV and wouldn't get on the phone, so I had to wait for a commercial. And they both like got on speakerphone, and I was like, I told them what happened. His parents laugh at him when they, and I'm like, you guys don't think I'm funny. You've never laughed at anything I've ever said. What's, and it was like this whole moment for me. Do your parents think you're funny? They mustn't. Like, when you try to be funny, do they laugh?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. Your world is, can you resume the podcast or do you need a moment?
This is bad. This is bad. I can't even tell you how striking it was to see parents laughing at their child.
I just picture you at this dinner, not being able to grasp what's going on.
How
did you compose yourself?
It was
Esther, are you fine? Are you okay? You're like, I need to use the restroom. And you just stare at yourself in the mirror, splash some cold water on your face.
Yeah, I just, every time, like, something I do that is sort of funny, they, like, roll their eyes or look mean or my dad like gets up.
He loses his appetite every time you open your mouth. I can't eat.
Like maybe it's because the things I do to be funny are like stunts. I don't know. Like for Thanksgiving, I thought one year I thought it would be cool if I wore a wig and was Lady Gaga.
You should get someone to write for you when you're with your parents. Just find out what your parents are into.
Yeah, and see
then
if I can
find a comic
it.
Around town who just aligns with that. That'd be great if you looked at note cards under the table. during dinner. You're like, so you hear about this, Mom? This has been going on in the news.
They all are often like, why don't you ever talk about what's going on in the news? I'm like, that's not my job, okay?
My mom's funny. Sometimes she'll try to, like, help out. She'll see, like, people I know on TV or whatever. She'll be like, you should tell them to put you in the show. Like, that's not how it works. And it'd be so weird. Well, it'd be funny, like, if that were a possibility or reality, don't you think I would have done that by now?
Yeah.
Like, well, Dutchie said you should do the Tonight Show. I'm like, oh, okay. So they open up the phone book and it's like, Jay Leno here. Hey, Jay, I'm surprised I was able to get through to you. Look, how about getting me some dates for the Tonight Show?
I went to dinner with my mom and my manager, and my mom brought up that she was testing the waters to see if I could be on Dancing with the Stars, if he could get me on it.
You know, that's been a joke between, like, me and my people sometimes that, like, I would love... Actually, I would like to be in a Step Up movie. I'm not even joking. I told you about this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I would love to be in a Step Up movie. And then dancing... Once my career fizzles out, Dancing with Stars.
See, I'm not waiting to fizzle out.
Do they do that, though? I think they kind of wait for you on the downswing.
Not necessarily, because the Kardashians...
I mean, come on.
Well, okay, yeah, you're right.
It's not like Jennifer Lawrence is going on Dancing with the Stars. Her reps are like, Jen, I gotta advise you against this. This is not good.
Like, I would...
It's you against Coolio.
Yeah, I would... If I ever had that, I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't care if I was, like, getting... If I was Jennifer Lawrence, I would do it. Hunger Games sequel? No thanks. I'm going to Dancing with the Stars with other Bachelorette contestants.
Yeah.
And whatever the other losers that are. No, I shouldn't say they're losers. I have a really big problem calling people losers.
Well, isn't it funny? It's easy. As comedians, it's easy to throw stones at, like, you know, Khloe Kardashian. But then who the fuck are we? You know, like, nobody knows who we are. I think we could take... we could seek refuge in the fact that nobody knows who we are. That's why we feel like we can.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's true.
Like, way more people know who they are than we do.
Right.
But it is just kind of funny that whenever we shit on a celebrity like that, it's like, at least tons of people know them.
Yeah, I actually don't. Like, I don't shit on celebrities anymore. Like, I guess I don't shit on the classic shit ons. Uh-huh. Like, I don't shit on the Kardashians. I like Paris Hilton.
So you do nuanced shit on.
Yeah, I don't know who it would be, but. There are definitely people that I... But I don't know. I think... Like, I had a dream once that I was friends with Khloe Kardashian.
Uh-huh.
And she was cool, so I'm sold.
What if I had that same dream?
Then tell me.
I didn't. I wish I did.
I had a nightmare last night that an eel was trying to attack me. And I woke up this morning like, no, eels are our friends.
Almost tarnished your opinion on eels.
So you have a sketch group.
It's true.
We call it... Let's...
Goatface Comedy.
Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah, it's goatfacecomedy.com. And yeah, we just did that music video for the hip-hop group Das Racist. And they're pretty popular hip-hop group. They're on Conan and then cover of Spin Magazine and stuff. And so me and Heems from the group, he follows me on Twitter and we follow each other. And he... Sometimes I have these dancing videos in my back to dancing. Hmm. Sometimes I'll just film myself dancing in my apartment.
Oh,
and I just have random.
Makes two of us.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got to check yours out then.
I have a really weird dancing in my apartment video that I have never promoted because it's so embarrassing. But maybe I'll show it to you.
Yeah, like I think I posted one once and then it got some good feedback and yeah. So then I did a little more and so Heems, he always sees them. And he's a fan of them. And then one day I just hit him up on Twitter. I was like, hey, man, I would love to dance in a Das Racist video, even if it was for a split second. I just think the novelty of a comedian dancing in a hip-hop music video would be really cool. And then he hit me back. He was like, yeah, man, why don't you just do something for the song Girl, and we'll make it the official video. I was like, oh, man, this is like way more than I could have ever expected. So then I went back to the sketch group. You know, my buddies Aristotle mm-hmm. Theorist, Hassan Minhaj, and Asif Ali. Those are the guys in Goatface. I said, this is a great opportunity for us to really go big on this music video because they're giving it the official video to us. So we'd spent about a month and a half doing it. And we just dropped it 4 days ago, and it's doing pretty well now. It's almost at like 60,000 views, and
Wow.
I have a mullet. I get a dance. I dance my heart out in a dance studio.
That's so cool. But when you say it takes a month, like, what is that? Why? Why does it take so long?
I mean, it takes a while to shoot, and the people, I was gone in Seattle for a week in between, you know, and then getting locations, and then getting talent, and then aligning their schedules, because it's not just us running off, and then it's not just pointing and shooting either, you know. Aristotle, he's very good at what he does, so mm-hmm. there's tracks, it takes a while to shoot. Yeah.
I guess cool things take time.
It's true.
The only stuff I ever do is like, okay, we're out, here's our iPhone.
But there's something very cool about that as well. You know, there's a place for both. There's a place for super high glossy production value. Mm-hmm. And then there's something very sweet and innocent about something that's so concept driven. That doesn't require... If something's funny, it doesn't have to be super polished all the time.
Yeah, and what if I was like a really successful YouTube, like I was a comedian and I had a really successful YouTube page and I was always promoting it and I had like more hits than anybody ever, and then you realized it was just because all my videos were of cute animals. And I'm like, hey,
you just make a cameo at the end. You just have a dog doing some cute shit and then you just pop your head in like, it's Esther. And then that's it.
Or I like tell one joke, like, remember the time.
And all the comments are, get the dog back in.
But like, and I was just like, yeah, I'm just playing to the audience, you know? I'm giving them what they want. That's a great idea. I'm going to do
just
it.
Just animals?
Animals. I get into these vacuums where I just can't get out of looking at different, like, I'll Google, like, hedgehogs taking a bath. And then...
Is there a lot of...
There are so many. And then it's just click, click. And I'm not like that. Like, I have a low tolerance for... Uh-huh.
But... You never get tired of this?
No. It's because then it's like suddenly a turtles taking a bath thing will pop up, or baby hedgehogs, or eight hedgehogs in one bath. It's, or mommy hedgehog and it's just, there's so many different things out there. And it's so, it's like the most fun thing too. Like I would rather lay in bed and do that than, you know,
then
have
go to
friends.
A nightclub.
Have friends, socialize.
You have friends. I've seen your Instagram. I think part of it is like you like this personality or this almost archetype of someone who's...
Yeah.
There's some truth to it.
There is definitely some... There's.
But you have friends.
I do have some friends and I'll do... like. But when I hang out with them, it's just like... I realize my definition of going out at night is going to Coffee Bean and then going to Target and then going to Whole Foods. That's amazing for me.
That's your night?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll go to a nightclub or whatever, and then I just realize, I just come up with material every time I'm there.
People always say that.
I have so much stuff I want to do on clubs right now. One of the things I've noticed is I think I'm too judgmental to enjoy the club. You know? Like, I'll go in there, and there's a 50-year-old Persian dude, like, standing on a booth, you know, just like pumping his arms up and down. Like he has no perspective or perception. He doesn't know how ridiculous this looks. And I'm envious that he honestly doesn't, he's enjoying himself so much.
It doesn't matter what the people think.
Yeah. He's just having a good time.
That's.
And sometimes you want a little bit of that.
It's true. Anyone that's having fun, it's easy to make fun of them, but it's also then smart to be like, well, they're having fun and I'm a loser who's miserable.
Right. It's easy to make fun, but then you've got to ask yourself, like, well, I'm not having fun and they are.
So now
they may be looking ridiculous, but it's like ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. That's why when I go out and I act like an obnoxious loser and everyone around me, they have fun making fun of me. So I'm sort of...
you're like a fun martyr?
Yeah. I also find that I... can be, if I do go to a party, which is rare, I feel like if I do go to a party, I usually try to take the role of, hey, I'm the weird acting person for you guys to bond over.
So I
serve a purpose with my ignorance.
So you get to be the one thing that strangers comment on and grow closer.
Yes.
So a lot of marriages have been a result of making fun of you. Like, where'd you meet? Oh, at a party where we were making fun of Esther.
LittleEsther.com for more. Have that's my job, is that people bring me to parties to just
to make fun of, and it's a good icebreaker.
Yeah.
When you guys want to talk to a girl, they go, oh, look at this chick. What's her deal? Yeah, I'm Brad. It's a service you have.
Hey.
It's called Icebreakers with Esther Pavitsky.
Icebreakers dot loser dot.
It's a lot of dots.
What do you see on my Instagram that indicates that I'm cool? You barely Instagram, by the way.
I know, I'm so bad.
The worst.
Well, I'm good on Twitter though. Yeah. Twitter's my medium.
I've been away from Twitter for a while. I haven't been reading up, but
I don't know. I like think in words more so than pictures, and I always forget I have a camera on my phone.
Do you have an iPhone?
No, I have Galaxy S2. The Galaxy's taken over.
Do you really feel that way?
I do. Yeah. It's a great phone. The S3 is out. The S3 is supposed to be even better than this phone.
I don't know. I wish I could understand, but I can't.
Well,
I want to be open-minded. I do.
Yeah. It's hard. Once you're in the iPhone family, it's hard to get out, I guess.
Were you in it ever?
No, I was never in it.
Oh. Sorry.
I don't know what I'm missing, so.
It's better that way.
It is. Yeah, we're talking about something good.
I don't know, but I'm drooling, so it must have been food related.
Do I drool? Were you gonna ask me if I like this is the part of the podcast where we ask the hard hitting questions. You got a lot of saliva production in this podcast.
Oh my god, Dustin's handing me a tissue. I'm fine, okay? I'm fine. I don't need it. Okay? I'm sorry that I get excited when talking to my friends.
You're like, sorry about that. I was just thinking about a Salisbury steak. This happens.
I was just thinking about a Thanksgiving dinner. I'm sorry.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah. It's November's the longest month of the year for me, because once I know it's coming.
Do you start starving yourself now? Some people will do it at the beginning of the day, just eat a lot of turkey, but you're so hardcore that you start now.
By like November 6th, yeah. I'm just like...
You're just like Tom Hanks in Castaway. You're just shoving everything into your mouth.
Oh, that's so... I actually... it's funny you brought that up. I don't have a no starving policy on the day of Thanksgiving. I eat my normal breakfast. I don't...
Which is also a turkey, so... You double dip.
Yeah, I don't like... I don't do any sort of... I have my own techniques that I use every day, so I don't change it up that year.
That's good.
That day of the year. In case you were curious.
That was going to be a follow-up question. But you nipped it in the bud.
What else do you have? Like, what's your stand-up thing like? Like, what's your life like?
What's my life like?
I guess you make videos.
Yeah, I make videos. I guess my life right now consists of, the sketch group, making videos, stand-up around town. Mm-hmm. I see you, Comedy Store, Laugh Factory. I don't really go out and do the road that much. I like staying here.
Yeah.
And if I do the road, I would like to do it right. Instead of just, here's some guy you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And then 20 people come out. And I break even. Or, I would like people to want to come see me. It's funny, like, I have a lot of, Afghan fans.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a double. Yeah, I do like it. I do like it. It's a double-edged sword. Because, my favorite fans are Afghans who like what I'm doing as a whole. Like the type of comedy, because my comedy is very universal in general, right?
Yeah, it's really.
Like, I don't even.
I didn't say Fame is so funny on stage. Like, he's great. Anyway,
thanks. You can check me out at FameManOr.com. So yeah, my material isn't like super Afghan or anything. So my favorite fan is Afghans who like everything I do, who just like my comedic sensibilities. What I don't like. It's just kind of frustrating, and I always have to deal with it. It's just Afghans who like Afghan stuff. I did one video on the internet called Afghan Wedding.
Uh-huh.
It still has the most views out of anything I've ever done.
Wow.
It's almost at 1 million. But I did it like 4 or 5 years ago, so it doesn't mean as much, a million. And they just really like that video. And they're always like, they think that's what I do. They think that I'm this Afghan.
Comment.
Yeah, I just talk about, Afghan stuff, and I don't. So... And then they'll tell me, they'll be like, you should do more Afghan stuff. But I don't want to do that. And I can't even think that way.
That's not as annoying, I think, as you think it is. Because when I did my Little Esther Asking Sex Questions videos, everyone thought that's all it was about and keeps saying, do more. But maybe I guess it's lessened. But yeah, I know that that's not what I am.
You're more than one thing people harp
on. So if they think that, then I don't really care. They'll get the picture, obviously, if you're doing all these dancing videos.
Right. So it's kind of nice. Some of these people are very bold with their statements. They're like, look, bro, you're not going to get anywhere unless this is what the people want. You got to talk about your race. Look at guys like so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, like, it's what the people want. And then, so it's kind of cool to do a video like this with the Das Racist music video. And that's like on Rolling Stone. And it's like, look, motherfucker, like, I don't have to do that. I have other stuff.
You got to fight the fight.
Yeah. You just got to do what you want to do and not let other people influence. Don't be swayed so easily. You know, just trust
your
compass.
Yeah. What?
Compass.
Oh, I didn't.
Gut's good too.
Yeah.
Your gut can be your compass.
I was thinking more of like what Oprah tells me.
Sometimes I'll get messages. Do people think you're bigger than you really are?
Yeah, of course.
That's always really entertaining because I'm like getting these messages in my studio apartment in Koreatown, you know? And they're like, when are you coming to Denmark? Like, when maybe more than one person is asking me. That'd be great if I fly down there, and I'm in the red. I'm hemorrhaging money on this Denmark tour.
I just realized that this podcast is coming out the Monday of election week, and maybe, we don't have to get super political, but like, are you voting? Like, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but like, what's your voting? Are you into voting? I mean, I'm not.
I vote. Yeah, I'll vote. Okay. I plan on voting.
You do?
I do. I'm, you want to know who I'm voting for?
If you want to say.
Probably Obama.
Probably. Oh, are you an undecided voter?
No, Obama.
I'm not voting.
Okay, you're going to sit this one out?
I do think that people should vote. Just
not me? How hilarious is that? Like, how can you even say that? Like, look, guys, it's really important to rock the vote this year. I, on the other hand, will be watching a Walking Dead marathon on Netflix. But you guys, I need you to carry the baton.
I know it's bad, but I'd rather be honest than lie, you know?
So then, why would anybody take your words of going out to vote when you're not?
Well, I'm actually not.
It's like the Catholic Church, like, like the Pope saying, you guys, you can't have premarital sex or wear condoms. And then he just starts fucking a bunch of chicks. Like,
well, it's not that I'm even bringing this up because I'm telling people to vote. It's just that I wanted to say I'm not voting. And then I felt guilty about it and instantly was like, but you should vote. Like, don't take my not voting as like, you should not vote. It's just that I had a bad experience with my first time voting.
Uh-huh.
If you could even call it that.
Yeah.
I had a really bad experience.
Were you mugged in the voting booth?
No, I went to vote and was told that I wasn't registered in that city because I was in my college town and they needed proof of where I live. Like, I had walked across campus to vote.
This is so funny. Like, this is such a first world obstacle to voting. Like, they wanted me to show my license and I didn't have it on me. Like, in Afghanistan, they'll go over 3 mountain passes and like dodge bullets just to cast their vote and try to avoid a car bomb. But you're like, they wanted me to show 2 forms of ID and it's a bit much.
It was just, yeah, and you know, I also was in a college where, like, I was in Illinois, so everyone was so into Obama that I just wanted to be like, ugh, get over yourselves.
You're treating the presidential race like an indie rock band.
So true.
Like, I was into Obama way before you guys
were. It's kind of true, yo. And he's like, tarnishing I was. It. Yeah, and then now.
So
everyone,
Obama became Coldplay.
Yeah, it was like he got too big, and then I was just over it, and so I didn't get to vote.
Then you voted for some really like. Some independent, some write-in guy just to feel cool.
No, I didn't vote at all. I didn't even get to vote. So now I'm like, like now it's just like, well, if you didn't let me vote when I wanted to vote, I'm not going to vote again. Like now it's over. You had your chance. Yeah. Even though that
I'm
makes
sure
no
America's
sense.
Regretting it. You're treating America like an ex-boyfriend or a jilted lover. Like America's going to be like, give me a second chance, Esther. I'm so sorry. Vote.
I tend to
You think America is
going to
be holding a boombox over its head outside your window.
Come back and vote. No, you had your chance. I tried to vote and you wouldn't let me. And I felt like I did everything I needed. I felt like I did everything right.
Yeah.
And they told me that I didn't. And I was pissed off. And then I went to a place called the Cookie Jar.
And there was no problems there, huh? That was a seamless
They didn't give
transaction.
Me any trouble.
No grief. You don't need any ID.
No, you don't.
None. You just need a face. And even then, I honestly don't think you need a face.
Yeah, so that's where I stand on voting. I do think that I also feel like I have no control.
You'll vote too much? One's not enough?
If I could, here's the thing. If they would sweeten the deal and I could get like a few extra votes than my friends got, then I would probably vote.
What do you mean? A few extra
like,
votes?
It's, I don't want to be equal with my friends. I want to have
oh,
more.
Oh, so you want to be like the Electoral College? Like you want to be like Florida or California and have.
Yeah, I want my vote to count more than my friends' vote.
Okay, that's democracy. Everyone's not equal.
I also just don't want to be around a bunch of hippies who are like, do hipsters vote? I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Not like old people, though.
Not, what do you mean?
I mean, old people vote way more than hipsters.
Oh, they do? I didn't realize old people are into voting.
Yeah. What else do they got to do?
That's so true. Which makes me actually the perfect candidate to vote.
Your name's Esther, too. It's like a waste of a name. People are going to be amazed if someone named Esther didn't cast a ballot.
I wonder, is it too late for me to change my complete mind and vote?
You're registered, right? You just got to find out where your polling place is.
But I'm not a resident here. I can't vote.
Well, you should have taken care of it earlier.
Yeah, I guess. Then the 3 days before.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's already too late.
See, over it. Okay, fine. Then I get rejected again 4 years later.
Well, what's funny is you're getting mad about steps that you needed to take to vote.
Which is also very it's a good mirror of real relationships when I get mad, but it's really my fault.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of a good example that I'd like to share, but.
I buy it. Just you get mad at things that are your fault.
That's common for girls. No?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know why you're asking me.
I'm a girl, but I'm not voting.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah, I wish I cared. I don't know. I feel guilty now. I guess I'll just end up back at the Cookie Jar.
This year? That'll be a great... Every 4 years during election time, you're just at the Cookie Jar. And it's great because hardly anybody's there. They're out voting.
Yeah,
so you have
true.
The whole place to yourself.
It's a great time. I wonder if traffic will be bad when people vote.
No, that'd be great if like the Cookie Jar had like a voting, like what new cookie do you want? And you're all about that. You're getting multiple ballots.
Yeah, like I'm...
And you need two forms of ID and you're still down to do that. Every problem you had with the actual presidential election, you're willing to do for the Cookie Jar to vote for the new cookie.
I mean, that's... Actually, yes, that's exciting for me.
Yeah.
I feel like I have more control. I feel like it affects me directly more so.
Like, I don't care about Social Security or Medicare. Look, I interact with cookies more on a daily basis.
Wow, I'm just going to... I'm bad. Anyway. Well, I guess we could wrap it up. Thank you for doing...
You're welcome.
...this podcast. Is there anything final we want to say about the election just because it's happening?
Go out and vote, guys. Don't listen to Esther.
Don't be an Esther.
Don't be an Esther. That's the new rock the vote. That's the slogan. Don't be an Esther.
Yeah.
It just has a box with a check next to it. Yeah. It doesn't take that much time. Do it.
And
doesn't hurt.
When do we find out who wins?
I don't know. I'm so bad at this.
Do they even call it winning?
Yeah.
Okay. When do we find out who wins? That night? Oh yeah, this is like exciting. Yeah.
They have it's like American Idol, and then they have Mitt Romney do his speech one last time. You go, sorry, Mitt, you're going home. Why don't you take us out?
You had a bad day.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not singing, he's just doing his speech.
It is like American Idol. It's like the season finale of American Idol.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm into it.
That's how you get kids to vote. Just tell them it's like American Idol.
And you know what? I have voted for American Idol.
Because it's just texting. It's easy.
Well, it's a phone call. But do you text?
Is it
to
a
vote?
Phone call?
It was a phone call in my day.
That's isn't it funny how that's dating yourself now? Like back in my day, we used to have to call the contestants we wanted. Now your kids just texted it.
Anyway, where can we see more of you?
Okay, let's see. Sketches coming out all the time on gofacecomedy.com or the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com.
What's your Twitter? Oh, sorry.
Let me finish plugging. It's the only reason I'm doing it. It's youtube.com/goatfacecomedy. My Twitter is at Fahim Anwar.
Okay.
Yeah, FahimAnwar.
We'll find you on my Twitter and our website.
Nice.
All of Fahim's info will be on the website.
And then
weird adults.
Stand up around LA, I guess. I'm at the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory. Just call them or check their website. I don't know when it's going to be, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating having to tell people.
Yeah, when people want to know, hey, Esther, when are you going up? Like, you don't know.
And even when I'm scheduled, I probably won't be there. So, but that's just me. I'm terrible.
No, you're just creating a buzz by not being places you're supposed to be.
That's a true strategy I'm using. So thank you for catching on. But I'm always present during my podcasts.
It's true.
So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having
me. We're going to check out your videos and all that stuff.
Cool.
Creepy little Esther. Stupid little Esther. She's in California. She's become a weird adult.
United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.